way my throat's feeling, y'all could just keep on singing for my part. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, though, to serve Him, to have the opportunity to be a witness for our Lord. We appreciate each one that has come, that's already been stated, and those that are visiting with us or have come to be with us that we don't normally see. We appreciate you here so very much. And we trust if you know the free the Lord and the free pardon of sin, that you'll just take part in service according to how the Lord might deal with your heart. And it'll all fall in place for us as we try to serve Him. We trust that if you have been saved, that you'll search your heart for God's will in your life day by day, that you might walk with Him in a way that would not only be pleasing to Him, but it would be joy to you, that you might now take up your cross and follow Him.
Brother Maggard,
yes.
Sister Angela come and sing a song for us.
Sure.
Glad. If she doesn't have one picked out, I'll have one picked out for her.
Okay. That would be fine. Sister Angela Moore.
That's perfect. It's okay.
Great thou art,
then sings my soul.
Angela, stay up here a second. A few years ago, I was singing that at home. And I got ready to sing the last verse, and I opened my mouth, and different words came out. And I was about halfway through the verse, and I don't know where that's coming from. This is what I said. I'm just going to just help them. Y'all all help on the course. When I was lost and searching for salvation, my heart cried out, "Oh Lord, please rescue me."
Amen.
You are the one through whom God grants redemption. The price was paid with love on Calvary. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. I'll bring thou art, I'll bring thou art. Then sings my amazing grace and how great thou art's got to be among the top songs that's ever been written.
Yeah. Amen.
To express what God is to us that are saved. A lot of people sing Amazing Grace that don't have any idea what grace is about. But yet it's still a beautiful song. You can hear people that you don't at least think that they're saved sing it and sing it beautifully. But to sing it with the spirit and with understanding is something else. And how great thou art. That just expresses. And there's no way for us to talk about how vast the greatness of God is. But yet, he's given us so much. And we thank him at best we can. But it's so little that we do to say thank you. We'll have to wait till we get to heaven to be able to say it the way we want to say it. Because what he's done for us is so great. Apostle said it's joy unspeakable, full of glory. That we can't speak it. Joy unspeakable just means we can't speak it. We don't have the words in our vocabulary to explain how great God is. We don't have a way of expressing it. And to those that are unsaved, you don't understand the joy we have. To those that serve the Lord. We have joy because we're saved, but we have greater joy as we serve the Lord.
Amen.
It just begins to be. Oh, we can go back to the time we got saved, talk about how great it was, and say it's the greatest single experience of our life. But the accumulation of experiences of living for the Lord and walking with the Lord and his blessing our heart just adds to that joy, and it adds to the joy. And like David said, sometimes my cup runs over. And just so much of it that it has to come out. And that's why we do a little shouting sometimes. Because it's just so great. You know, I thought about it at different times. I thought, why in the world would I shout? You know, people think you're crazy. But when you feel so good in the Lord, you don't care. You know, you just let it out. And the thing about it is that shouting Brother Sonny was talking about, you know, that makes an impression on people. And we don't hear the shouting of God's people. We sang a song long ago about that. There'll be shouting on the hills of glory. There ought to be some shouting down here. Because God has done such a wonderful work in our hearts and in our lives. And I'm thankful to have a witness in my heart. I was going to say some humorous things, I think, but just to get started. But I don't need those things. You know, the humor's good in some place. And I like to laugh and enjoy myself. And I told Sister Lisa and Brother Terry back there that I think the reason Brother Ron might be late getting here is he heard I was going to do cooking. And I did do some of it. I slaved over a hot oven today. But I'm thankful just for being here tonight.
Amen.
Enjoyed the meal. Always enjoy eating with my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Just enjoying what God has given us as a bounty. And maybe, God thought Brother Ron needed to fast and pray a while. Help him get ready for service tonight. But we're thankful that they're here safely and that we can join together in our efforts to serve the Lord.
Amen.
I want you to pay attention, if you would, tonight. This is probably going to be a little bit longer. Brother Ron had kind of a long reading lesson last night, and this is going to be one of my longer ones. I'm not trying to fashion after him, but it's just what the Lord gave me. Found in the 13th chapter of Acts. Matter of fact, I'm going to read you a sermon. It's not my sermon, no. It's a sermon that was preached and recorded for us in the Bible. 13th chapter of Acts, and I want to start with the 13th verse. The 14th verse, I'm sorry. And I'm going to read the first about three verses. I'm going to stop for just a moment, and then I'm going to get into the sermon that he preached on this particular occasion. And I'm going to, now when I get down to the sermon, I'm going to read it kind of slow because I want it to sink in. And I want you to think about some of the things that he was saying here. But when they departed from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. And Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand, said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. Now, what had happened here as they went into this town, they went, as was their custom to go to the synagogues. That's where the Jews met. And he took the gospel to them first, gave them the opportunity to hear it. And then he'd take it to the Gentiles. But he had gone in the synagogue, and it was pretty customary for them, if they had visitors in their midst that were Jewish, that they would ask them to make comment on the scripture that was read. And so that's what had happened here. They opened up a roll or scroll and they read some scripture. Now, it doesn't tell us what they read, but they read some scripture. And then they asked if they had words of exhortation. In other words, can you commend us to this scripture and some things that the scripture might say and what it might mean? And so that's that was the situation when Paul got to preach this sermon. And he motioned with his hand. He said, now, y'all listen. And he referred to two groups of people. He said, called the Israelites or the Jews that were born naturally as Jews. And he said, and ye that fear God. And I take that to be Gentiles that was at least trying to learn the Jewish ways. And the word fear there means reverence or to respect. They respected God enough that they came and they listened to the reading of the law and they listened to the teachings and they were trying to learn. You want to talk about the fact that they were saved, but the fact that they were trying to learn of the Lord and about this one God that they believed in. And so Paul then starts in his sermon, and I'll just give you a little glimpse of it ahead of time, is that he's going to show them, because they're strangers there among them, that he is well acquainted with the scriptures of the Old Testament. And so he's going to give them a rundown of what happened in the Old Testament to bring it up to be able to preach to them about Jesus. So let's listen to what the Apostle Paul had to say to them. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided that land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges unto the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. When John had first preached before his coming the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel, and as John fulfilled his course, he said, Whom think ye that I am? I am not he. But behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day, which have fulfilled them in condemning him, and though they found no cause of death in him, yet they desired Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us their children, in that he had raised up Jesus again, as it, it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore, he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep, and was laid unto his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers of wonder, behold, ye despisers and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And that's the ending of that reading. That's reading starting with the 14th verse through the 41st verse of the 13th chapter of Acts. And excuse my reading mistakes in there. But the summation of that is that he gave them Old Testament scripture, and that he brought them from David to Jesus.
Amen.
And then he began to tell them about Jesus and the fulfillment of the Old Testament teachings concerning him. So he was reading things familiar to them. And I hope that those things, I tried to read them slowly enough for you to think a little bit about them, was also familiar to you, because he gave some of the major points of the Old Testament. And that they was able to recognize the things that he said. And then he, by the help of the Lord, put in the teaching of Jesus. and that salvation was in him. I want to reread half of one verse and another verse. The 26th verse, the last portion of that, says, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Now, he had come there. God had sent him out to go into the Gentile nations, and God had sent him with the word of God to them. So the word of this salvation was sent to them. And the 38th verse said, and by him, being by Jesus, all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now, he had sent Paul to preach to them the word of the testimony of the Lord. I'm going to go back and read one more verse, 38th verse. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Those forgiveness of sins were those who could not be forgiven by the law of Moses. Because the Moses law, the Old Testament law, did not forgive anybody of sins.
Amen.
It just told them about their sins. And that made them realize that they were lost because that they were unable to keep the law, and therefore they needed salvation. And even though that those who had understood it in days of old had preached it to them, but many of the Jews had not understood it, and many of the priests did not understand it, many of the Levitical clan did not understand it, and so therefore they taught this legalistic system of you got to do enough good in order to get into heaven. But that was not sufficient. And so Paul was coming and telling these Jewish people that believed the law or that practiced that, that there was something more to salvation than just knowing the law and living a good life according to the dictates of what the law said. And so he began to teach them about Jesus. Now, if we go on and read, we find out that they didn't like it a whole lot with the Gentiles did. They said, come back, teach us some more of this stuff. And he kept on, but I'm not going to go on with that story. Because I want to talk about the word reaching them. The word was sent to them. The word of God, which was sent. The last half of the 21st verse of the first chapter of James said, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now, he said, receive with meekness or with humbleness the engrafted word. Engrafted means implanted. The word was implanted in them. And he said that word was able to save their souls. That's really what I want to talk about for just a little while this evening, is the word of God and its place in the hearts of individuals that helps their souls to be saved. Because without the word of God, they'll not know about what salvation is. They'll not know what they need to do in order to be saved. They'll not know how to go about being saved. And so the word of God is important. Now, I want to up front say that the written word that we have, that we read from, is well and good to tell us. It's like the law. It tells us things about the Lord. But it's the living word, which is Jesus himself, that makes the difference in people's hearts. But the word of God, being the written word or the spoken word or the expressed word, we communicate to people so that they hear. We find the writer of Hebrews, not believe it would be Paul, but whoever wrote it anyway, said in the 11th chapter and the 6th verse, he said, those that come to God, or he that cometh to God, must believe that he is. Now, he goes on and says, and that he is rewarded them diligently seek him. But I just want to take that first part. If you come to God, you got to first believe he's there.
Amen.
You won't go to him if you don't think he's there. You're not going to say, and God have mercy on me if you don't believe he's there. The same thing as far as Jesus is concerned. You've got to have a mental belief. And that's what the written word, the preached word, the oral word, however it is communicated to somebody, is it tells them the story of Jesus, which provides them salvation. Brother Ron made mention last night, 1 John in the first chapter, that the word was, or in the beginning was the word, and it's capital W there. And he's talking about Jesus. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, the word was God. So the word, being Jesus, And if you go back and look at the first three verses of Genesis, we find that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and we just think about just as the Godhead or all of them together, or God the Father if you want to think about that, but God created the heavens and the earth. The second verse says that there was waters there, and the Spirit of God moved on those waters, so the Spirit was there involved in it. And the third verse said, and God said, God said means that His Word was proclaimed. And His Word was Jesus. So from the very beginning, Jesus was being talked about. That when He said, let there be light, there was darkness all around. And He said, let there be light, and the sun popped out. We're not going to get all the story of creation. But there was light that was present. To those of us that are saved, we have the light of Christ in our life. We have the witness of that through the Holy Spirit. But we have the brightness of salvation in our heart. Those that are lost are dead in their trespasses and sin and in darkness. And so the first time that you'll see the light is when you call upon God and He saves your soul. He takes away the burden of sin. He takes away that veil that is hidden you from Him. And the light of the Lord comes into your heart. But at the beginning was the Word. So the Word was there. And then we have the written Word to explain the spiritual Word so that we might know Him in salvation. Jesus said in the 15th chapter of John, and this is where He was talking about, I'm the true vine and you're the branches and you're grafted into me. But he said in the third verse, He said, now you are clean through the word which I spoken to you. You're clean. They were saved, in other words, through the word that I spoken to you. Jesus was doing this. He was the word. But He said, through the word that I spoke to you. Because see, He came and brought the message from heavenly land about Himself. And anybody that got saved in His personal ministry, they may have heard the word from Him, but they still had to hear the communicated word to come in, to come to a knowledge of the living word, which was Him. So He said, I've spoke to you this word, and you've been made clean because of it. You have to hear the word of God in order to be saved. Now, some people believe that you got to hear a preacher preach the word. I don't understand it that way. Now, God calls preachers to be the expounder of His word, but He has everybody that's saved a testimony to give to somebody, and that testimony carries the word of God with it. And let people know that they can have something that's different from the world. They can have something that is a light within them, something that shows great blessing and great condition of this life that's beyond what we can have through mortal things. People seek all kinds of help and pleasure and opportunities to find something that's good in life. But they can find no real good till they find Jesus. And the Word brings us news of that. In the 1 Corinthians letter, now I used this not too long ago here at church, in the 15th chapter, we find as it starts out that Paul wrote and said, but then I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Now he was just saying, I'm declaring to you what I already preached to you, because he wasn't there, he was writing a letter to them. He had been there and preached the gospel to them, and he said, now I'm declaring that to you. And he goes on in the second verse says, by which also ye are saved. That gospel which he had preached to them was what brought the message of salvation to them, that they might be saved. Just like Paul was saying here in Antioch, or not Antioch, but when he was preaching this sermon that we just read to you, that to you the word of this salvation is sent, or is sent to you. And so it was to the Corinthians. He said, I brought the word of God to you, and I reminded you of it now, but it was the gospel of your salvation. Now, he goes on in that passage of Scripture and tells us what the gospel is. It's the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the summation of the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings that is brought to a person that's lost, that they might have the opportunity to be saved. And so he says, I bring this gospel message which offers you the opportunity to find salvation in Jesus Christ. I believe I quoted a couple of nights ago in Romans 1:16 that the apostle, when he was writing the church there, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Again, that gospel message, that word of God, is the power of God unto salvation, that people might have the opportunity to be saved. And that message brings to an individual a new understanding about everything. Because if they haven't heard about Jesus, much like the taxi driver that you was talking about, I don't know if he'd heard about Jesus, but at least he started a conversation. Brother Ron was able to tell him about Jesus and why Jesus died for him. Because when people start hearing about Jesus, they start asking questions, or at least they start wondering. And people that have a totally different view of what God is, or what religion is, or what there is out there as far as something to live by and hopefully something to die by to them anyway. When they hear about Jesus, it's just so different than everything else that's out there. It has something that is unusual, because it talks about a man. A man that came and took God within himself, or became man by God, and was willing to give himself, the one who could have had everything in the world. He does have everything in the world. He owns it. But he gave up everything of the world to give up his life, having lived a perfect, sinless life, to die for us that we might have eternal life. And it's just a wonder that why a man would do that, why that he would do such a thing. And that's what the Word of God does. It brings to somebody a new message, a message of hope, a message. And I heard someone on the radio the other day talking about the Muslim religion, and I'm not going to get into all that type stuff, but there's three basic tenets of the Muslims, that because their prophet did three different things to try to get his idea of religion going. He first tried to be a peaceful, loving type person, and nobody caught on to that. They didn't go along with that too much. And so then he started governmental things that by the government of Islam that he had ruled people's lives and kind of forced them into things. Well, when that didn't go over too big with them either, then he went to his third stage, which became a terrorist, basically, that he went out and he killed and did all sorts of terrible things to people I'm not get into. And that's the jihad part that we hear about. And so when people say that Muslims are peace-loving people, that's the part that he did to start with. He tried to be peaceful, but it didn't work for him because his God wasn't big enough to move it into the hearts of people. And so he looked for ways to force it into the hearts of people, or at least into the minds of people. So there are many religions out there that have totally different ideas about how that a God would work, because they think of God in human terms, and how vengeful they are, and how that they can force people to do things. Well, God has vengeance. God has judgment. God has those sides to him, but he has mercy and grace that he gives to those that will come to him. And that's the difference, that he has a merciful side to him. And he had mercy that he sent his son, Jesus, to be the means by which that we could be saved. And that's what the Word of God does. It propels that message out to people, and the Holy Spirit takes it to their heart. Now, just telling people the words won't do it. If that did it, then there's a whole lot of television preachers that could get people saved because they preach the Word, but they don't have the accompaniment of the Spirit. And I shouldn't say they all, because most of them, though, that I'm acquainted with, don't. They have an emotional attachment maybe to what they're saying, but they don't have a spiritual punch to what they're saying to take it to people's hearts. And so again, it's just like Mohammed tried to do is trying to convince their minds. And that's exactly what a lot of so-called Christianity is. It's a mind religion where people are trying, or the preachers and those that are adherents to their particular philosophy are trying to convince people's minds and make it seem like that something that's taking place in their hearts. But they don't have any spirit or Holy Spirit to take it to their hearts, to draw them unto repentance and faith. Because if it did, then a lot of these kind of preachers would be out of business, because they're not getting people to look to them. Look what I can do. You got to come to me and pray. You got to give to me. You got to do all these things for me if you want to get to God. But that's not the way it is. Jesus came and said, I don't need any of these things. And I've just got myself to give to you. And he gave his life that we might be saved. It's free. A totally different thought. I wasn't thinking about it for this sermon. That I had a lady that we know went to see a particular preacher that's big on television. He came to Nashville and they sold tickets for get in to see him. That doesn't sound like a free gospel to me. But his is all about accumulation of wealth you can have here. And I'm afraid, based on what I've heard from him, that's all he's going to have is what he gets here. But when he dies, he's going to be a very poor person if his heart's not right with God. And I didn't mean to get off on that, but I want to get back to the Word. The Hebrew letter also says in the 4th chapter of Hebrews and 12th verse, for the word of God is quick and powerful. So it is powerful. Quick means it's not just talking about swiftness there, but it's life-giving. And it's powerful. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God, when it's accompanied by the Holy Spirit, will delve into the hearts of an individual. It won't just make them emotional. It won't just make them think that, well, I've got to get things right. But it will stir their hearts and pierce their hearts. That's what a sword does. It pierces. And of course, he's talking about a two-edged sword that also slashes each way that it goes. But you know, when it gets in there, it can do something that the scalpels of the surgeons can't do. They can separate the flesh and they can separate all the stuff inside of us with the scalpel, but they can't reach the heart. Now they can the physical heart, but they can't reach the spiritual heart. They can't reach the soul. They can't reach the spirit of an individual. The sword of the Lord, the Spirit of God working with his word, can separate all those things and lay us open before God, that we might see ourselves as a lost person that's hell bound. And that's the only thing that really convinces. Now, in the mind, somebody can be convinced because they think about all the bad things that they've done. But as I said the other night, it's not the bad things you've done that condemns you to hell. It's the fact that you've not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You hadn't put your trust in Jesus. And so it's not because you stole some cookies from the cookie jar when Mama said not to. It's not because that you went and I was mean to somebody. It's not that you stole something or that you committed some great crime. It's because you hadn't believed in Jesus with all your heart. Now with the mind, you might be there. And we've heard people even this week that has told their experience of people saying that do you believe in Jesus or did Jesus Son of God? And they make that as the means by which salvation. If you just make the statement, then that's a confession. That's all they want to hear. But they hadn't heard from what is in your heart. They can't look in there. But the Spirit of God and the Word of God can go into the heart. He knows the very intents of what you're thinking about. He knows whether or not you're interested in your soul. He knows whether or not that you're fighting him or standing off from him. People put up good fronts in front of us, and sometimes we can't detect it. Sometimes we can tell that people are in trouble or something about them, but sometimes they're real good about not showing what's going on inside of them. How about he knows exactly what's going on inside of you? And when the Word of God gets to your heart, it'll tear you up just like it did me. It'll tear you up just like it did anybody that's ever been saved. Because that Spirit works in the heart where the Word reaches in. And it's the power of God unto salvation. Brother Ron read to you last night in the Hebrew letter in the second chapter. And there was a question asked, how shall we escape damnation how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Certainly that's a question to a sinner. How can you escape eternity without God? How can you escape damnation in hell? Lest that you believe in Jesus that provides that great salvation. We sang how great thou art. And we can sing it from the heart because it is so great to us. Because it is a great salvation. It is a tremendous salvation. And to those that are unsaved, they don't see it as such. They don't understand it as such. But still, to those that are saved, we know how great it is. And if we really acknowledge it. Now, some people hide it under a bushel. The Bible says we're not supposed to do that. We take our little light and we're not supposed to hide it under a bushel. Little children at Doremi School sang that song, you know, don't hide it under a bushel. This little light of mine. The thing of it is that we don't want, or I say we don't want, people that do that don't want the world to see them as a child of God. They don't want them to see the light that has been placed in them because they think, well, I'll be cast out or my friends will desert me. If your friends desert you for that, then you need new friends. You need those that love the light, that want to put their candlestick with yours and make a brighter light so that it'll shine out to the world. We get wrapped up as individuals in the worldly things. The Bible tells us, I believe Paul's writing too, he says not to be conformed to the world, but transformed. You know, we're to be transformed into the Lord that we might take on the characteristics of the Lord, that we might show Him in our lives. And He blesses us for doing so. He gives us what we need for doing so. It might not be to the standards of the world. It might not be what they would like to have. But if we've got something that they don't have, then we need to be telling them about it so that they have the opportunity to get it and get away from those things that are a distraction from God. But the Word of God is what is presented to us that we might know about the Lord, that we might escape that awful eternity in hell. And those of us that have been saved, we already know that. The Primitive Quartet sings the song, the only fire I'll ever feel is burning in my heart. That's a spiritual fire that just encourages and lifts us up. But we'll not taste the flames of hell. We'll not have to fear that. That's why so many people, when they get saved, one of the things that they'll talk about is they feared death, or they feared facing eternity without God. They had a fear in them. And the fear of death is taken away. That doesn't mean that we're looking forward to the sting of death. But as to what happens after death, we don't have to have fear about that because we have what the Lord has given us and He promised that we'll be with Him in eternity. And that's what I want for you that might be here that's unsaved, is to have what God has promised to all of those that would trust Him. And the Word of God has been preached this week, has been testified about this week, it's been sung about this week. There's been plenty of opportunity for people that are lost to hear the gospel. I trust that to those that might be present tonight that are unsaved, that the Holy Spirit, that sharpening sword of the Lord, will touch your heart and prick you in the heart. And that what Jesus said to Paul, he's on the road to Damascus, hard to kick against the pricks. And I'm not going to get into what that means, but his heart was being pricked. You that are lost, if you're in that condition and you're held down, the Lord will prick your heart. He'll stick it. He'll stick it with that sword. And the Word of God trying to reach in there and to tell you that Jesus is the answer for you. Jesus is the means by which that you can be saved. Jesus is what you need in order to have eternal life. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He'll speak to your heart if you'll open your heart to Him.
Amen.
I'm going to stop right there. I had some other things I thought I might say, but I'm just going to stop right there. If you're here and unsaved, as Brother Ron John said, we have what we call a owner's bench. It's an altar, a place of opportunity for you to come to seek the Lord. And we'd be glad to pray with you as a church and with individuals. If you're here lost, humble your heart before God and call upon Him. We'll give you that invitation to do so. Let's have a song.
Turn to page number 100. Say the first, second, and last verse. Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone.
Opportunity is not a good word, because opportunity indicates it's a possibility, but in your condition, you're going to hell. Your condition's got to change.
That's right.
Sometimes people go to the doctor and they say, you're going to die unless you change some things. That motivates a lot of people to make some changes. Mm-hmm. What we're trying to tell you is you're going to die and go to hell unless there's a change back. And it's not a change you can make. But Jesus is one that can change it for you. Can change your condition. Lord, for mercy on your soul. Veronica.
Appreciate the wonderful message tonight. And I was just thinking, you know, if I was lost, and I didn't feel like the Lord was dealing with me, I'd be really concerned about that. Gospel's been preached tonight. That's what you need to hear. It's the good news. And we hear a lot of bad news. You hear a lot of bad news when you leave. You might be getting some bad news right now. People texting you and things like that. I'll tell you, that's all you hear is bad news. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection, that's the glad tidings. That's the good news. That's the gospel. That's the best news that there is. And you need to take advantage of it. And you can. But if the Lord's not dealing with you, I'd be praying, God, please deal with me. And I'd say, please, give me that burden. Give me that conviction. Please, I need you more than anything in this world. I appreciate the message and the word that went forth. And the gospel's been preached. Now the word, the capital W word, Jesus, He needs to come into your heart.
Amen.
He's the one that's going to have to draw you. He's the one that's going to have to deal with you. And I appreciate Brother Magner. He won't have to stand in judgment and say, I didn't tell him about you. What he can say is, Lord, I tried to tell him about you and want him to know you the way that I know you. And the way he knows the Lord has been saved and called to preach. And tonight, if you've not been saved, please, please steal away and have a little talk with Jesus. Is there anybody else that has a word, a lead, or anything on your heart tonight? Just mind the Lord is all we ask you to do.
Ron, do you feel like singing, Father?
Well, I feel like singing. Ma'am, even when I don't feel like singing, I try to sing.
Bless your heart. I would love to hear you.
I'm not on an evil trip. I'm not here on my own. I make mistakes often. I'm just common flesh and bone, but I'll prove someday what I say, that I'm of a special me. I was the only one, but that every person here. But if I was the only person, I believe he'd have still done what he did.
Amen.
But he was, the Bible says, whosoever, whosoever means me, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
But you know what? You have got to call on him yourself.
Amen.
I'd love to do it for you, but I can't.
No.
I'm glad I can't. Because I'm not perfect, but he's perfect.
Right.
And he wants to save me. I'm so thankful that he reached down and he saved me.
Amen.
Anyone else have something on your heart this evening? Can we stand and sing a song and come around and shake Brother Magger's hand with appreciation for the message? And the altar's still open. I was helping that where they're going to be singing tomorrow, moving along. A few years ago, and I was standing right here, and I was helping in that revival they're putting on, and there's a grandmother that came around, and she grabbed my hand, and she looked at me, and she says, "I'm lost." And she was a member of Blackjack Baptist Church. Just being a member of the church ain't going to save me.
That's right.
And she said, "What do I need to do?" And I didn't say a word. I just said, "That," and she knelt down there and prayed until she came up with a smile on her face and she said, "Now I got it. If you come around and shake our hand tonight, you shake this preacher's hand, you know that you don't have it, you need to get it.
Amen.
You need to quit hiding behind whatever you hide behind because God sees it all.
Amen.
He knows it all. And if you're here tonight, you're lost, even if you're a grandmother, you need to be saved. Everyone needs to be saved. And if you get saved, you'll be the first to know it.
Right.
So as we come around and shake hands with each other, be honest with yourself. And even after you shake our hand, you need to stop and pray a while. I'll stay here all night if that's what it takes.
Amen.
You just follow the Lord tonight as we come to the earth.
Number 51. To paint a land I'm on my way where the soul's never dies. My darkness I will turn to day where the soul never dies. No.
Never die.
gospel song.
Amen.
A lot of songs, they don't have gospel meaning. They're just words, you know. But that, you can take from the Bible.
Amen.
Where the soul never died.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says there'll be seven no mores. And I can't maybe regurgitate all of them. But one of the things that is, no more curse, no more death, no more dying, no more seed, no more separation. I'll tell you, we're going to a place where there's no more moon, no more stars. No more. Why? Because the glory of the Lord is going to shine there. And I'm so thankful for that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's a good song. Because that's where my soul is headed. Yeah, where the soul never dies. But on the flip side, hell, the soul never dies there.
That's right.
It is dying and dying and never dies.
Yeah.
It is totally, that's what death is, it's separation.
Yeah.
And you'll be totally separated from God and all of those that have gone to heaven. And your soul will be where it will die and never yet die. It's going to exist forever. So you need to really think about that. Anything else in anyone's heart? Someone want to give the Lord praise. He deserves it. Especially if you feel the knocking on your heart. I don't want you to do it, just to be doing it. But if the Lord's knocking on your heart, you need to let go and let God have His own glory. Anything at all?
I said I appreciate your message.
Last Sunday, our preacher preached a sermon. He brought this fellow down. He'd been homeless and had lost everything. Was selling those papers on the corner, and he was sitting on the front row of our church. And the preacher introduced him and he said, "I'd like for y'all to come down and speak to this fellow." Well, the day before, my wife and I were in the car passing the McDonald's over there with this man, and she said, "Bill, do you ever buy a paper or give those homeless people any money?" And I said, "Not very often, sometimes." But I stopped at that McDonald's that morning and got something to eat and got a cup of coffee. And I sat inside and drank it. When I came out, that fellow that had been down front in our congregation had been there. And I'm self-employed. You know, sometimes it's tough. We run out of work and there's a lot of competition. And I have learned from friends and family and the Clemens the importance of tithing and how you get back threefold. So I talked to this fellow, went up, didn't get in my truck, just went over and talked to him and told him, I said, "I understand your situation. I've never been homeless, but two or three things can go in the right direction." And I said, "I reckon I could be right there too."
Yes.
So we talked a little bit, and then after I got ready, I hugged him and said, "God bless you," and went back in my truck. Got back in my truck, but when I got back in my truck, I was reached my wallet. I got $5 bill up. So as I got ready to pull by, instead of turning out on the road, I went towards Taco Bell, so we'd be lined up like this. So I handed him the $5 bill, and he handed me the paper. And I said, "Well, I don't really want the paper." I said, "I'll just have to throw it away." I said, "It'll just be in my truck," and I said, I'm doing this for you." So I give him that, and I want everybody in here to understand, I am not telling this story to toot my own horn. Because if you give something in charity and then you got to boast about it, you might as well not know.
That's right.
But I want to share it to how the Lord works.
Amen.
The following morning, my phone rang, and I got an estimate for a $16,000 job. So I believe God's got His hands on all things, big and small.
Amen.
Even my little rinky-dink outfit.
Amen.
Amen. Appreciate that.
Truly appreciate everybody coming tonight. Do you have anything else you want to say, Pastor?
I need to sign up. We're talking about supper now. I know some folks are leaving their food out after church tomorrow. So tomorrow, we'll have a little something to eat. And they might have to get something to take off.
You might see it here. I want to say, thank the Lord for saving myself.
Amen.
Earlier this week, you know, it was Susan's 23rd anniversary
yes.
for salvation on Wednesday. She emailed four friends, and a short one was her spiritual birthday in the short that she got saved while praying. And she heard from a little Catholic girl, she said, well, happy spiritual birthday. The day she heard from a little Jewish girl, said, I never heard of a spiritual birthday. Of course she hasn't. But it's out there.
Amen. Amen.
We heard, we haven't heard from two of them, but we heard those. It's a sad thing, I think they never even heard.
It sure is. You know what Jesus said one day? He said, salvation is of the Jews.
Yeah.
Who did he tell that to? That was the woman at the well. Sure did. Some people say, well, he was a Christian. I was a Jew. Who is Jesus? He is.
Yeah.
He's a Jew.
Yeah.
And he is our salvation.
Yeah.
People are Christians that are Christ-like, that follow him. He is the Christ. He's not a Christian. He is the Christ, the anointed one. He is that Jew, the captain of our salvation. Anyone else?
Brother Ron, I was wondering if you could feel this in his own voice.
Well, yeah, he would.
And on my heart, feeling this blessed assurance. It's been on my heart all the whole time we've been here. You know, but he hasn't sung that voice for a long time, but boy, I'd sure like to hear it.
Yeah, me too. When we sing thanks for you.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood.
Amen.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen.
Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen.
Bless you, brother. Appreciate this. Tony Crosby wrote a lot of beautiful songs. Couldn't see a thing in this world.
I'm not mistaken of what I have heard about that song. She wrote that the day she got saved. She wrote poems and music was put to them.
Can we give an opportunity for members, please?
I'll turn it back over.
That pause just gone across my mind. Hadn't really felt impressed to do that. But when a person is saved by God's grace, that's the most glorious thing that can happen to us. But Jesus left us a commandment to be baptized. Now, he didn't do it just to say that anybody could do it. John the Baptist came with the only authority to baptize. The Jews had customs where they would dip themselves for purification and cleansing. But a person that is being baptized is representing a death. A death to sin and a new birth to life. It's also a representation of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So in baptism, a person is making a statement of the gospel. And those who have been saved need to unite with the Lord's church.
Amen.
Where authority has been given to perform baptism. And we offer that to saved people. If you've been saved by the grace of God, and God moves your heart. Here, I've with people that they get saved and they go where they're going, they grow up going or something, that they promise maybe go ahead and join there. So that's just where they're accustomed to, unless the Lord deals with them to go somewhere else. And he can always move them later on. But still, if you've been saved by the grace of God, then every united with the church just faith the Lord. Then we give the opportunity for you to do so. Now, we require the same thing that John the Baptist required, and all Baptists, the true Baptists anyway, have now through the years, is that we require people to relate to us their experience of grace. John required people to give them a reason for their hope, each fruit for repentance. In other words, show us some evidence that you have repented.
That's right.
And that God has forgiven you of your sins. Now, it doesn't have to be a long, eloquent speech, but there is something that happened to you to cause that experience to occur, and you have something to tell about.
Amen.
And so we just ask you to tell it in your own words what the Lord did for you. And upon the church's reception of that, we take a vote. On fellowshipping people based upon their testimonies. And it's not to vote on their salvation because we don't know about that.
Amen.
But we vote on them whether or not to take them into our fellowship based on what they've been able to share with us, if there's a spiritual connection there with us. And then you can be received into the church and by baptism made a member of the Lord's church here at Faith Missionary Baptist Church. If you have been saved by God's grace and united with a church of like faith and order somewhere else, and God moves your heart to be a member here, then you can come and express your desire. Again, we'll ask you to tell about your salvation experience and that you'd like to move your membership. Most people don't carry their letters with them anymore. Something used to be something years on that they did, but usually we'll have to write to your church to get a letter of dismissal from them, recommendation to us. And upon the receipt of that letter and it being reviewed by the church and accepted, then you become a member at that time. Now, actually, if the Lord's moving you, your membership moves when you present yourself, but that's a technicality that we do. And if there's someone who has been excluded because of wrongdoing, you can be restored to the fellowship of the church by acknowledging your wrong and that you've gotten straightened up with God and that you desire to have your membership restored in the church if you do so. And by these means that we receive members, we'll be glad to hear your testimony. Even that person who comes back restored, we want to hear their testimony.
Amen.
It's good for them, it's good for us.
Amen.
And it's in keeping with the way that the church was established.
That's right.
Unfortunately, I've been to places where on vacation or something, we just try to find some place to go. And I remember one time we went to an independent Baptist church, and
they had an altar call, two girls came up front and talked to the preacher, and when they got through singing the song, he said, they've given a wonderful testimony. So that was bad at the end of it. But they had none to give. But all they did was just answer the question, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? That's not a testimony, that's not an experience. But what God does in our heart. And they didn't take both anyway. They said, well, we'll baptize them, receive them in the church. So they were taken in. But we require that experience to be related to us. But by these means that we receive members, if we stand, we sing. If your heart is moved by the Lord, become a member of this church. We'd ask you to come forward, and we'll hear what you have to say.
That's the current page number 151, and sing the first and last verse.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling.
we should make a commitment to go even all the way.
Amen.
In the frailty of our flesh, we can't take every step he does. But when we fail, he's there to forgive us.
Yes.
We're with him to see that to him. But Peter said one time, I go with all the way to death. 3 times that night. If your heart has been moved to the night of this church, if you have not done so, you pray about it.
Amen.
If it's not what God wants you to do, then you respond to that. The night was 10 Buffalo Springs, and we've been going several times from there and had a wonderful time with them. And one service, which is bad, it was over 2 hour service, glorious service. And they gave opportunity members 5 times. And people kept asking for the courtesy of giving an extra prayer. And then 4 other times people asked to go to church to be open. And actually they're open whenever we meet.
Yes, sir.
Just for them to give that invitation. And went through it, nobody's going. I think some of them thought maybe Clinton out and join, but Lord has moved, and he did a little later, about that time. And a lot of members said after, he said, well, somebody's supposed to join church today, and they didn't make the church, but they didn't have the opportunity. And you had the opportunity. And what you do with it is between you and the Lord. But that's something that needs to be considered by everyone that's saved, be a member of the Lord's church.
Is there anything else that needs to be said or done?
Thank you.